This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue trekking through St. Mark with Death of the Baptist Part 2, Feeding of the 5,000 Parts 1 and 2, Jesus Walks on Water, and Healings at Gennesaret. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday, September the 10th, it's time to go through listener email. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. What's first?
Let's begin with our favorite topic, vaccines. Here's two, we'll deal with them separately, two email responses to our recent interview with our good friend Wesley Smith on vaccine mandates. Doug says, Jeff, Todd, seriously, are we doing our homework here? Wesley Smith doesn't get it, or he doesn't want to get it. Does it take a former Pfizer employee, an expert in microscopy, to convince everyone? The issue here is not mandates. The issue here is this or is this not a vaccine? And if we conclude it is not a vaccine, then what is it? And what is its purpose? Is this really and truly the best the church can do regarding investigation in these matters? Thanks for the feedback and thanks for listening, Doug.
Well, first of all, Doug, we're not a church. We're a radio show. So, I mean, if you want to talk about what your church is doing about vaccines, go talk to your pastor. I don't think there's any serious question. I don't know. Look, when you get your information from the internet, you should suspect everything you read, everything. Okay. That's something we should probably all have learned. And especially when the subject of that information is vaccines, you should distrust everything, trust, but verify. We have talked with immunologists. We have talked with other experts here on the air, and they've all referred to this as a vaccine. Now I've seen the same things you've seen where people are out there on the internet. And again, on the internet, you can say anything you want and you can claim to be anything you want. But I've seen people say, well, no, technically it's not a vaccine. Well, the experts we have talked to have called it a vaccine. It's being commonly referred to as a vaccine. I don't think there's some vast conspiracy to call it a vaccine when it isn't a vaccine. It may not be I think there might even be different kinds of vaccines. I don't know. I'm just going with those who we talk to on the air and kind of the common parlance. So let's just grant your point for a moment that for some reason this isn't a vaccine. It's something else. I've heard people call it gene therapy. And I've seen that debunked many, many times. Let's grant your point for the sake of argument that this isn't a vaccine. That doesn't mean that discussing vaccine mandates is somehow irrelevant. That conversation with Wesley Smith needed to take place. Why? Well, what happened 24 hours ago? The president issued a vaccine mandate. So I thought it was a rather timely and relevant conversation to have. You can quibble about whether it's a vaccine, but the mandate's there anyway. So the purpose of that conversation was not to discuss whether or not this is a vaccine. I think that's settled. You disagree, but the purpose of our conversation and what Wesley had written about as a lawyer, someone who understands the legalities of this, and as a social commentator, was whether or not vaccine mandates are a good idea.
Todd brings up a good point. He says, in the Wesley Smith interview regarding vaccine mandates, Mr. Smith described three vaccine tribes, one vaccinated pro-mandate, two unvaccinated who won't comply with mandates, and three pro-vaccine but anti-mandate. I submit that there are only two tribes, one pro-mandate, the tyranny tribe, and two anti-mandate, the liberty tribe. Most people who decline vaccination are not opposed to the option of vaccination being available for those who desire it. Generally speaking, those who decline vaccination simply want to be afforded the freedom to independently make their own healthcare decisions. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Todd.
I suppose you could parse it differently. I think Wesley's is more useful because what Wesley was trying to point out in that conversation was that all you hear about in the media are people who are gung-ho vaccines, vaccinate me again kind of people. And according to the media's portrayal, people who are, for some backward, crazy, uneducated reason, refusing adamantly, bolting their door against the vaccinators. That's the impression you get in the media. And Wesley's point was, no, there's a third tribe. And that's people who have confidence in the vaccine, have had the vaccine, but are opposed to vaccine mandates. Those are the people you're not hearing. Well, now you are, aren't you? Now that we have a vaccine mandate, you are hearing about those people who are all over social media saying, I've been vaccinated. I'm in favor of everyone being vaccinated, but this is not the way to do it. A mandate is not the way to do it. So I think Wesley has been proven abundantly prescient in that by saying, look, it's not just what the media is portraying, which is backward, slack-jawed yokels who refuse vaccines, and then the sophisticated, educated, and caring people who will get vaccinated every weekend if you ask them to. So those are the two different poles, and all Wesley was saying is there are so many of us Americans who have been vaccinated, want to see people vaccinated, but think that a mandate is a terrible idea.
So you just said you're in favor of everyone being vaccinated. Do you support President Biden's, you agree, what you want 100% vaccinations on the COVID-19?
Well, I just don't know when the goalposts moved, because his goal was 70%.
No, I'm talking about yours. You just said I support everyone being vaccinated.
I support,
what is yours?
Well, I would like to see if people want to be vaccinated, they should.
Okay, if you want, they want to be vaccinated.
I want it
right
to be cheap and available and ready for anybody who wants it. I do not support saying everyone 100% must be vaccinated. That's simply impossible. You can't get 100% on anything, much less someone where there's going to be exceptions. Do I trust Anthony Fauci? No. Do I trust Big Pharma? No. Do I trust the government? No. So I think Wesley's point was very well made. And that is, you can distrust all those things and still say the vaccine is a good thing. You should get it, but you shouldn't be told to by the government. That's not the way it feels.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
I believe during our last rendition of email comment line, we received a complaint about my microphone. I am using a different microphone today, so...
I can tell.
You can tell.
Yeah. You sound much better.
Well, we sound the same. You don't sound as muffled.
Yeah. Too bad none of the three of us caught it. Doesn't say much about our acumen. Alex writes, I would like to briefly take issue with the comment made by Pastor Bender in an episode 2 on the theology of worship. About 18 and a half minutes in, Pastor Bender says, quote, The worship according to the law is to offer your gifts to God, which is a false worship, because we cannot appease God by our works, end quote. I find nothing to disagree with in this episode to this point. However, I must quibble over his statement that worship which offers a gift to God is a false worship merely because it cannot atone for our sins. We Lutherans tend to take the language of Godesdienst as worship to an unbiblical extreme. Reception of his gifts is the first and primary means by which we worship God. However, St. Paul exhorts us in Romans 12:1, present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. ESV, the word worship, is used in most faithful English translations. This is clearly a work done by a faithful Christian, which is pleasing to God for reasons other than propitiation. Better describe that or explain that word. This is not a false worship, and it must not be dismissed as such, nor can this text somehow be made to read as a reception primary act of worship. Many thanks for the wonderful work you do, and may God continue to bless it. In Christ, concludes Alex.
Alex, thank you for the email. I don't think that Pastor Bender was trying, he was speaking in broad terms. I don't think he was trying to exclude any worship that includes man bringing gifts. You can't do that biblically. Because it is quite obvious from the passage that you cited there, and that we have elements in the historic liturgy where we literally bring gifts to God. The offering is one of them. I mean, I'd like to see someone try and turn the offering into God offerings us or something like that. And I agree with you wholeheartedly that there are some who take the notion of Godesdienst, that is God's service to us, to an unbiblical extreme. The point of saying what Pastor Bender was saying was there are two different views, two starkly different views of Christian worship. One of them puts the primary emphasis, almost exclusive emphasis, on what man does for God. And the other one says, no, worship is primarily what God does for man through the means of grace. And while that is the primary emphasis, it's not the only emphasis. And I think Pastor Bender would wholeheartedly agree with that. It's not the only emphasis. There are elements of true Christian worship, where, as you said, we are called by and commanded by God to bring things to him like our prayers. And these things are God-pleasing, but does not mean that they somehow atone or, as you said, propitiate, atone for our sins. They are not sacrificial in that sense. But God commands us to pray, so we bring our petitions before him. He considers these things to be a good work. And so we don't want to exclude man's working from a view of worship, but it cannot be the primary emphasis. And I think you would agree with that.
This is Paul in Milwaukee regarding the recent program 2393 on the nature of Christ with our resident student of religious pathology, Pastor Roseborough. Is there an explanation as to why the promulgator of the, to put it charitably, odd definition of Christ, omitting the salvific work of Jesus Christ, they one and the same, is not being re-educated by his Franciscan superiors? Failing that, why isn't Rome itself disciplining him? Maybe a recent forthright RC guest on IE could help. Thanks for listening.
Well, I think it's a good question. Really, it's a broader question of church discipline in the Roman church period. Richard Rohr is the man that he's referring to there. The conversation with Pastor Chris Roseborough was one of our This Week in Pop Christianity, where he, and odd to talk about a Roman Catholic in that segment, but he said there is a lot, Richard Rohr has a lot of popularity with progressive evangelicalism. Richard Rohr's view of the universal Christ, where Christ isn't God incarnate. Christ is this idea that has existed, as he believes, from the Big Bang. Whenever God manifested himself materially, he tries to expand the incarnation to somehow the act of creation. God is manifesting himself materially in creation. It's rank heresy. It is a kind of, I would say, non-Christian mysticism that Richard Rohr pushes, and how whoever his bishop is, he has some ecclesiastical authority, even though he's a Franciscan, he has some ecclesiastical authority over him, obviously is asleep at the switch. Why he has not been disciplined for these teachings. Now, there, I'm sure you can go into Catholic writing and you can find theologians, maybe even a bishop or two, who have condemned these errors. But in a strict hierarchy, as you have in Rome, unless it's his bishop, you can write about it all you want. And as long as his bishop is not willing to discipline him, no one can do anything about it. So there's a crisis of church discipline wherever you look. Rome has one in spades. And I think it rivals that of, say, the Episcopal Church back when it even had a vestige of orthodoxy, allowing John Shelby Spong to spout off for 7 decades. The guy should have been defrocked and thrown from the church, but he wasn't. I can tell you probably why that was, and probably why it is with Richard Rohr, too. And that is, they're popular. They're prominent. And you don't want to touch those kind of guys. John Shelby Spong was kind of a go-to guy when you wanted to know what progressive Christianity, they didn't call it that in those days, thought about something. And he was more than willing to take up the conversation with any, even me. I mean, I've had a conversation with him. He was more than willing to talk to anybody who will listen to him. And so why those church bodies have allowed that to go is simply because there is a crisis of church discipline. Celebrity Christians generally tend to get away with just about anything they want to.
John Shelby Spong might be considered a moderate in the Episcopal Church USA
today.
He
would be. I think he'd be considered a moderate, probably. Definitely old-fashioned.
I just looked it up, his website, the Center for Action and Contemplation. This is Richard Rohr's. It says, yes, Father Richard is a Franciscan priest in good standing of the New Mexico province of Our Lady Guadalupe.
Okay.
So there you go. Tina, Illinois, I am convinced that you cannot speak to others in Christian love and truth who are in the depth of sexual sin. I have been called a bigot, homophobic, and worse. My church and church family have been called the same. I understand that the Bible says that we are blessed when we are persecuted for the sake of Christ, and that we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our strength and our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Furthermore, I know that I am also a sinner and am in need of Christ's saving grace each day. My question is, how do we as Christians love our neighbor, who is anyone we come into contact with in this life, whether it is family, friend, or stranger, who is unrepentant in their sexual sin, and not give them and others the impression that we are accepting in their behavior? That's a great question. Thanks for listening, Tina in Illinois.
I will tell you how to do it, and it's not easy, but I think you have to say exactly just what you said. You have to say, I love you, I will support you, but what you are doing is wrong, and you need to repent of it. But that doesn't mean I don't love you. If it's a child, they're still living in your house, you don't kick them out. You simply say to them, this is the situation between us right now, okay? And it's interesting because they might say, well, you're being unloving to me by telling me I'm doing something wrong. Just ask them, do you think I'm doing something wrong? Do you think my beliefs are wrong? Well, yes, I do. Well, then we're both in the same boat, aren't we? We both think the other person is wrong, but we can still love each other. Do you approve of my actions? No. Well, that means you don't approve of me. Wrong. Love is not approval. If it were, there would be no love in the world. I cannot approve of everything my children do. I cannot approve of everything my wife does. If love were approval, then my marriage would have fallen apart a long time ago. Love is a dedication, a commitment, a selfless giving to someone, even when you cannot approve. And that is what cannot be broken. So I like your thoughts about being persecuted for Christ, because it immediately made me think there are some Lutheran pastors out there who would be saying, well, I don't want to be persecuted for saying something's wrong. I'd rather be persecuted for the gospel. You don't get to choose that. Your persecutor gets to choose what you get persecuted for. And if they want to persecute you for thinking homosexuality is wrong or adultery is wrong, you don't get to choose what part of God's word brings you into persecution. What part of Christ's word brings you into persecution? Jesus says very plainly that those who are ashamed of me and my word are the ones that he will finally reject, because they were ashamed of him and his word. That you don't get to pick and choose what part of that word the world wants to persecute you for. Will it be the preaching of the gospel sometimes? Yes. More often than not, as we have seen, it'll be the preaching of the law. And as Pastor Matt Harrison pointed out here beautifully, I think it was a soundbite a couple weeks ago or last week, when they persecute us for preaching the law, when they tell us you can't preach the law, they are telling you you can't preach the gospel. If you cannot point out the sin, then you cannot apply the gospel to that sin. So the next time you hear a Lutheran pastor say, I'd rather not be persecuted for preaching the law, I want to be persecuted for preaching the gospel, you just say, well, if you can't preach the law, you can't preach the gospel. And if the world tells you you can't say this word of law from God's word, they are telling you you cannot pronounce forgiveness for that word either. If you can't call it a sin, it can't be forgiven. Up next, some thoughts from the comment line on the I Have Issues t-shirt.
Hi, this is Steve from Fort Wayne, Indiana. With regard to the suggestion in last week's show that the slogan on the Issues Etc. t-shirt, I Have Issues, should be changed to something more positive, I would speak in favor of retaining the present slogan. I used to wear my Issues Etc. t-shirt to the gym almost every day and would frequently be asked by somebody what issues I had. This gave me a good chance to put in a plug for Issues Etc. and Lutheran theology. Whenever anybody would ask me about the slogan on the front, I would turn around and point out the information on the back. People frequently wanted more information, and I was able to provide it. My favorite incident happened when once a woman asked about it, and I showed her the back of my t-shirt and started to walk away to the workout. When I arrived at the exercise station, I turned around, and there she was following me with a piece of paper and pencil to write down the information about Issues Etc. So keep the present slogan on the front. You never know who may be listening as a result of it. Thank you.
Well, it sounds like the t-shirt's working exactly as it was designed to work. A brilliant idea on the part of one of our listeners years ago to say, put a t-shirt together that says, I have issues on one side, and on the other side, put the contact information. And it's been working well for all those years. Thank you very much for the encouragement. When we come back, more from the listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
You have to weigh the argument for its soundness and validity.
And you can't just dismiss it because you don't like the gender of the person making the argument.
When you separate those two things, then you create a second baptism. But Paul's very clear in the book of Ephesians that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all.
And I think it's a completely mistaken understanding of what Lutheranism is. It's almost like giving into the caricature, right? The caricature is, well, you guys call yourselves Lutherans because you just follow Luther, believe whatever he says. But it's almost like this is a buying into that caricature.
We're talking about a huge transfer of wealth from the poor of today to the far less poor, indeed to the wealthy of tomorrow. We're asking the poor of today to sacrifice for the rich of tomorrow.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four soundbites for you. You heard those in part. You'll hear them in their entirety. And then you'll vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address at IssuesETC and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. It's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Here's some email about Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Let's begin with David in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Thanks for sending out the survey about Soundbite of the Week. I do hope you keep it going since A, it's a great way we IE fans and followers can interact with you all. B, the soundbites are shareable on social media and folks can get a snapshot of what's discussed on talk radio for the thinking Christian. C, the segment is a creative way of recapping the issues covered over the previous week. And grin every time I hear simply the best, Friday, I'm in love, etc. while jogging on the treadmill, I think of Issues Etc. Keep being the voice crying out in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. Thanks for the email. David in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right. Well, I mean, we've been wondering about it because, well, the secret about Soundbite of the Week is that it is a lot of work to do this. And we were saying, well, this is the age of the on-demand listener, and this is the age of, which means less real-time interaction with our listeners. I've done this long enough. Jeff has done it longer than me, but back when you did sports radio, Jeff, it was about taking phone calls, wasn't it? Or doing interviews with expert guests, right?
A lot more open lines.
A lot more letting the listener kind of talk about what they saw in the game last night or what happened with the team or a certain player.
The Monday morning quarterback.
And sports radio is almost the only place where that still occurs, that kind of in-time talk. Now, it happens in talk radio to a lesser degree, but Rush Limbaugh used to take a lot of phone calls when he first started, and then guess what? He took less and less phone calls because he's less interactive. And even sports is now, the nature of the interaction is texts and emails. So when I first started doing this, we could call for phone calls and we could get phone calls and go for segments on Soundbite of the Week. Well, people have moved from real-time listening to on-demand listening, and thank the Lord they have, because that's the vast majority of our listeners listening anytime, anywhere. So we're just kind of rethinking or thinking again about Soundbite of the Week. It's nice to hear some encouraging words from the listener.
Yeah, a couple things. Number one is it's a download bottom feeder.
What does that mean from a producer's standpoint?
It means not many people are listening to it on demand.
They're not choosing to listen to it.
Right. And so the question is, would you prefer just spending, 20, 25 minutes having another topic and guest instead of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week? Another problem, as you mentioned, is that 95%+ of our listeners don't listen live. They listen on demand. So it makes it more difficult for them to participate in Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. And I don't think it makes good, effective communication for poor Pastor Wilkin to read email,
I've got him right
Facebook
here sitting
posts, tweets for sometimes up to 5 to 10 minutes week.
If it's Radio 101, you fail if you're reading votes all that time. So
if we had live phone calls, which we hope people do today, coming up here in about 10 minutes, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943.
You greatly improve that segment when you call, because it's not just Wilkin reading votes. You greatly improve the segment when you call, because it's not just Wilkin I know that our listeners love me, but they don't love me that much. So some of them do. But
actually, I've got an email coming up who really does love you. And then the on-demand listeners could call our comment line 24/7.
Sure.
Not today, not now, but next week, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. It will come across as a, I think downloads would increase if we had more actual listener interaction and people are hearing the voices in that 8 to 10 minutes where we're casting votes as opposed to poor Todd Wilkin reading.
Right. Which is why, think about it, how we structure this particular segment. I don't read the emails and then answer them. That's hard on listeners. Jeff reads the emails. He doesn't.
That's really hard on listeners.
Yeah. But Jeff reads the emails. I answer them. It's more conversational. It's more interactive. And then we have comment line, which are different voices. Different voices always help. So I got to tell you, Jeff, I didn't tell you this. I ran across somebody who knew me from a completely different context, didn't know about Issues, et cetera. And then they somehow stumbled upon Issues, et cetera. And they said, "Oh, I just thought you were some guy who did AM radio." Like, that was like a lowly occupation. "I thought you were just some guy who did AM radio. I didn't know you had a podcast." What a flip has happened in the last couple decades. Where when we started doing podcasting, very few people knew what it was. We've been doing it now for, gosh, probably the better part of 20 years. The better part of 20 years. We were podcasting before practically anybody else was. And no thanks to us. It was a colleague at the radio station where we worked who was smart enough and had enough foresight to realize that it had potential. And in those days, if you said you were in radio, it was like, wow, you're in radio. If you said I do a podcast, it'd be like, great. Good for you.
Tinfoil hat in your garage.
Yeah, it's completely flipped. Not because of us, but because of people like Joe Rogan. Now to have a podcast, that's wow. Even though everyone in the entire United States has their own podcast.
You know, I was thinking about that today when we went to that national podcast convention in, I think it was Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes.
What was really interesting, and that had to be what? I mean, how many years ago? 5-7 years ago, easily?
Easily.
And we went there, but the people that were making it in podcasting, the people that had the most successful podcasts in an earthly sense, were people that came out of National Public Radio, and a lot of them were producers. They were frustrated because of the time restraints of radio.
Oh, yes.
They couldn't get in depth because you become the clock becomes your small g god. And you know, that's one of the great things about podcasting is that you can, like Uwe Simonetto, it's going to end up being probably a 2-hour interview on this series of growing up in East Germany and Nazi Germany. And you just couldn't do that in radio.
You could not have a conversation that stretched that long continuously. I mean, they left National Public Radio because the time constraints, because they couldn't go in depth, because they wanted to pursue a niche or do something that radio didn't allow them to do just because you're on a clock. And you take the clock away, and then people get creative. Then you got to see that there's talent there, genuine, I mean, crazy broadcasting talent in these people that is kind of off the beaten path. National Public Radio has a sound. As all radio used to have a sound to it, a certain sound to it, and the podcasts that have spun off of that have a completely different sound. Who does This American Life? Ira Flatow?
Yeah.
Ira Flatow never would have had a radio no producer would have given him a microphone. He said, I'm going to do it myself. And they found out, you know what? A guy with a squeaky voice like Wilkin or Ira Flatow, they actually can carry a show.
I think
it's been great.
Another issue on Soundbite of the Week is that my good friend Tom McCain, who serves with me on the Board of Regents at Concordia University of Chicago, he talks about calories. How many calories are you going to devote to something? So when you think of the marketing calories that go into Soundbite of the Week, we send out 3 push notifications on our mobile app to tell people to vote every week. We have something on Facebook. We have something on Twitter. And then we promote it no later than the Thursday before, usually, with the montage. and then twice on Fridays. So at what point are you dedicating too many marketing calories towards a segment that has is a bottom feeder downloads when it comes to downloads? So those are the things we're struggling with. So my personal opinion, if you want to keep it going, you need to call in. You need to call in live, 877-623-MY-IE, or if you're an on-demand listener, you need to leave your vote on the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. That might very well determine the future of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Speaking of that, Barb writes, I was wondering if I could nominate a soundbite of the week. If I could, I would nominate Pastor Wilkins' comment about our days being numbered, whether we're vaxxed or not, whether we're masked, our days were numbered before we were even born. I found it comforting. I would like to hear that message again and again and again. Thanks for all you do. I appreciate you all, concludes Barb.
Well, Barb, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Wilkins doesn't get soundbite of the week. We often hear from people who say, hey, that Wilkins thing should have been a soundbite of the week. The guests are always better than Wilkin. My job is to sit here and listen and ask questions, and their job is to provide those kind of insights. Now, occasionally when we do a segment like this, listener email, I get a chance to say a few things, but that's probably why you were impressed, is because you kind of I kind of save up for those things.
You're being humble. It's mainly I haven't allowed it. You to be a candidate, and maybe I should change this, because I just think, who's going to vote against you? I mean, it is kind of, you know, it's a home court advantage, right?
Yeah.
You're reading the votes.
It's
and
just creepy. To me, it would be just creepy. You know, here's soundbite number two, me. That's just creepy. I don't like it.
But thank you, Barb. Thanks for the suggestion. Thanks for listening. And Pastor Wilkin appreciates your feedback. Right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I said I greatly appreciate it.
Okay. I just want to leave it on a positive note.
Like every maybe 2 months, I'll say something that is worth remembering.
I'm trying to be a winsome missionalist. That's all.
What's that?
Stay positive. Stay positive. Don't talk about the negative stuff. No law stuff. Just Jesus loves you. Jesus forgives you.
Well, gee, thanks.
No repentance.
Tell him I like him too next time you see him.
Yeah. Great email. Great insights from Michael, Vandalia, Illinois. In the Episcopal Church, you don't have to teach the biblical doctrines of the virgin birth of Christ, the order of creation, that God made male and female, or that any sexual relations outside of heterosexual marriage is sinful, but you absolutely, positively must get vaccinated because God said so. Wow. Just wow. Writes
Michael. Was that Michael?
Yes.
Well, look, it just goes to show everybody's got a religion. Everybody has an orthodoxy, and everybody has a puritanical streak in them. Everybody's a fundamentalist. Every person on the planet is a fundamentalist. It's just depending on what you're going to be fundamental about. The difference between a Christian fundamentalist, which I proudly proclaim myself to be, if that means believing the Bible is true from top to bottom, from cover to cover. The only difference between a Christian fundamentalist and any other kind of fundamentalist is the subject matter. A Christian fundamentalist believes the word of God, and all the other kind of fundamentalists believe somebody else's word, but they believe it fundamentally. They believe it. If somebody says, I'm not an ideologue, they're lying to you. Everybody is an ideologue. It just depends on what the ideas are. If somebody says, well, I hold my truths loosely. Well, do you hold that truth loosely too? I don't believe in absolute truths. Is that an absolute truth? I believe that truth is relative to everyone. Is that a truth that you believe is relative to everyone? Because now you're contradicting yourself.
Hey, Pastor Larry Bean, I just have to bring this up. He had a great Facebook post this week. He said, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is pro-life and pro-natural marriage. We believe in the infallibility of Scripture and submit to the Word of God. If you don't agree, we're definitely not the church for you. No winsome missionalist would approve of Larry Bean's Facebook post there.
Well, I think one of our congregations had one of those at some point. One of their spots was, are you looking for, what is it? Craig, you hear these all the time. Is it the rocking church? Are you looking for a rocking?
Oh, that's Pastor Jeff Hemmer at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights.
Are you looking for a rocking church with a great
hey,
praise
play
band?
That right now,
it's
Craig.
Not here.
Play that right now, Craig. I think it's 018i or something or other.
Yeah, hold, let me grab it here. I got to find it.
Yeah, under church sponsors.
Oh, there, got it. Here we go.
Do you want a church with a rocking band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity
yeah, that's
to
awesome.
A world of
that's
a hook.
No, it's brilliant marketing. I also like, we're here, sitting here talking about spots. I like Pastor Peterson's one. This is a short spot, and I don't have enough time to explain it to you. That's a great way to start a spot. Look, this is a short spot. I don't have enough time to explain it to you, but you need to move to Fort Wayne and come to my church. I like it. Are we taking a break? Because Jeff just left the studio. All right. When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got our four soundbites lined up for you. One from Scott Klusendorf, one from Pastor Chris Roseborough, one from Dr. Jordan Cooper, and one from Dr. Cal Beisner. All different subjects, all different soundbites. Only one can win. Your votes are next.
Your funeral is the last opportunity to make your confession, your final confession from the grave, as it were. In your funeral, you confess before the world what you believe and in whom you trust, Christ and Him crucified. The September issue of the Luther Witness will help you think through this final confession of yours. It will help you think through the funeral service, funeral arrangements, hymns, and more. To purchase your copy of the Luther Witness, visit cph.org/witness. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Imagine this. What if you planned your vacation? You picked the location based upon where you knew there was a good Lutheran church. Well, we're here to let you know that if you're planning a Southern Oregon vacation, whether you visit Crater Lake, raft the Rogue, fish for salmon, or head down to the Redwoods, there's still a place for you to receive forgiveness. Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. What's a vacation without the gospel? Faith Lutheran Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit faithrogueriver.org.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-centered worship, confessional theology, Lutheran community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.